This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are, so welcome aboard. Anything going on out there? Oh, just a few things. The impeachment, we're into approaching the third day of the impeachment hearings. And of course, it's been just quite a little battle going on. Adam, shift. And of course, the rest of the panel, if you will, attacking Donald Trump 24/7. I think that's really what it comes down to. There's no there. It's pretty apparent they've got the same old looping story. It's kind of, you know, there's these loops, they call them in the radio business, where you just plug something in and it plays for a while, then loops back. Then it plays for a while, loops back. Then it plays back. Loop. So we're getting the same old monotonous story. And I haven't seen what the TV ratings are. I don't think they've jumped up or spiked on the second day, but we're going to be checking into that. We're also going to be checking into the Rasmussen report and see where we're going with all this stuff. Obviously, there's some danger in terms of the president's dropping and that sort of thing in all the polls, but I think that at the end of the day, people are going to start resenting. As I've been talking to a lot of people, had a meeting last night and a couple of other conversations around with some very notable people. People are just flat bored with this whole thing. And there's no evidence coming forward. There's no there. And of course, I if you're one of those senators sitting up there, these guys get no respect, the senators right now. What they do is they just sit and sit and sit and sit and they basically do nothing. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're doing nothing and just listening to this monotonous whining going on from the Democrats from the House. Anyway, so I think that they've successfully fended off all the demands by the Senate to act more like the House of Representatives or be more like them. That's not happening. The Senate seems to be standing strong and firm on that one. Anyway, with us right now is Chris Street. Thank you, Chris Street, for being back home again. This is your home away from home. And glad that you're with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. I know the fans have been clamoring for your presence on Agenda 21 Radio. There's so many things that are going on. And you have all the answers from your crystal ball. You guys don't seem to understand. Why does Chris always have the answers in advance of timely events? It's because he uses a crystal ball. And he has a blackened room. And in the middle of the room on a blackened table sits this crystal ball that glows. And he puts his hands on this thing. And he gets all this knowledge. So, Chris, share with us from your crystal ball what is going on now.
Namarangangela, Namarangangela, oh,
Okay, that's
yes,
the end of the show.
We are living, in the crystal ball world where all of the monsters actually live in the media, where they come into your room every day, courtesy of the mainstream media.
Yep.
And the issue I think that's important, Paul, is President Donald Trump has ended the globalization outsourcing of jobs by the political class in the United States. Why would the political class and their globalist masters not be angry that Trump probably cost them $2 trillion in the value of their offshore factories going to zero? This is the teenage response to the idea that you have rights. Because remember, you know, you think you have rights, but you don't. In their mind, you are but the flotsam and jetsam of reality that they don't want to hear. The yeah, you know, the microaggression of you having rights has come to their neighborhood, and they're angry.
Well, you know, everybody, unfortunately, in America has rights, God-given rights, as we call them. And, of course, we talk a lot about that in the Agenda 21 radio and also, of course, the New California State Movement when we go out and talk about the Founding Fathers and ensuring through the documents that everybody understands their God-given rights. You know, it's a tough thing when you're not godly to understand that notion.
Right, right. You know, you start out with, in the wilderness, you have fear and you have many gods and you have one God, and then all of a sudden you think you're God. And that's what globalists really believe. They are the God. They think everything about you is selfish and self-centered when they pick your pocket. You know, if you go to prison, there are no criminals. Talk to them. They just got caught. The only crime they committed was they got caught.
That's right. That's the only one. They got caught. They got caught.
The idea that I'm going to change. You know, I used to do programs when I was comprehensive care inside prisons, and there's probably a third of the people in prison that did some kind of accounting fraud, or they did some kind of check fraud, or they just did something that wasn't as premeditated. Obviously, they did it, and they did a lot of it. You know, maybe they got, you know, started writing rubber checks, or they started doing something else, you know, accounting things or such like that. But when they get to prison, they're actually chagrined, embarrassed. You know, their families come and visit them. They're not really the hard types, you know, that adjust to the shock collar and all that. And they go to all the prison. They go to all the prison activities. They read all the books. They go to all the church services, and they really become reformed. But about 2/3 of people in prison consider it a graduate course in crime.
Yeah, that's where you learn really how to be a criminal.
Right, because you're there with, you know, avowed experts and people who are a lot of times are proud of what they've done. Once again, the fact that they got caught, you know, was really the crime. You know, they're there to get a graduate education so the next time they don't get caught.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, so tell us what's going on in the real world right now that we've got the impeachment going on. We've got Davos, as of, I guess he's come home from that. And also what's going on in China. We always watch China because of California. Then we'll talk about New California because there's a lot of things going on there. And Elon Musk has come out in support of Donald Trump as president.
Well, Paul, let's put the big issues in perspective. You know, Donald Trump forced China to essentially bow to the United States power in just about every area of compliance on intellectual property, of committing to $200 billion of new imports from the United States, to the whole idea that giving up the whole idea that China is a developing nation. And in the wonderful world of the World Trade Organization, developing nations have special rights because, you know, they're victims. When you file a claim against a developed nation, that claim is supposed to be heard within 6 months. And the response from the offending party or alleged offending party is supposed to be within 6 months. So you get adjudicated within a year. But when you're, when you're a victim of as a developing nation, you have the right to the same 6 months initially, but a 1 year extension because you have problems, filing, and then you get another 2 year extension afterwards. So the bottom line to all of it is you have about 4 years to respond to any trade complaint. I mean, remember how long a cycle is for an automobile? Probably about 3 years, right?
Right.
Every 3 years they redo the auto and they change this and they change that. That's pretty much what China has. They have the right to go through one or two technology cycles before an infringement case is heard. And by then, they've already moved on. So it has only been the World Trade Organization has only been an opportunity for the developing countries to smack the developed countries with these kind of trade courts. For China, it's been a joke. The second largest economy in the world, they're just laughing at us. And they're laughing at us because they were in league with our betters, the globalists.
Sure.
They built factories over there. There's nothing like a Silicon Valley liberal that's all for labor rights, but they have no unions. They're all for environmental rights, but they don't produce anything in the United States. They produce it in China, which is a catastrophe as far as health and welfare. Now let's take a look at China. China is a country that historically, for the last 3,000 years, together with India, is half of the world's GDP. Now, for about 150 years from 1820 to 1970, it went down to about 25% of GDP because they didn't embrace any of the new technology. They still lived on the bulk gang labor. And of course, communism came along, and any intelligent person out there was basically sent to re-education camp. But after the 1970s, China came back, and they've really regained their natural level of GDP. What has been spectacular is that we are still subsidizing China because they're some kind of victim. Now,
right.
I understand when I have teenagers. Teenagers are always a victim, right, Paul?
Always. Absolutely.
they
know that one.
As parents, you're so unfair. But, one of the things that teenagers will tell you by the time they're in the mid-20s is how good a childhood they had. They will tell you whether they had rules, whether they have, tough love. And they will value that because they start to see this in society. They see other people who've had, whose childhood has just been a mess, and they start to appreciate it. When you look at China today, you see a country that has lots of money, it has lots of success, and it is imploding. It is imploding because it has a communist autocratic government that would just as soon shoot you as give you rights. Ask the people in Hong Kong. Ask the people today in three Chinese cities, those cities of Wuhan, Hangang, and Izhou. Those three cities, 20 million people in those three cities, about the population of New California when we start as a state,
right,
are now on lockdown. They are quarantined and waiting to die from a new coronavirus that obviously the Chinese have been lying about. This is a infectious disease that spreads very rapidly. They've had this before in 2003 with what are called SARS, and now it's back. But China, when they have these kind of public health crises, lie about it, you know, try to confuse the issue, and all of a sudden they lose the ability to hide it because people get on airplanes, they get on trains,
and
they're spreading this around the world. I just put a piece out, should be up on the Epoch Times within an hour or so, that, you know, as of last night, 544 people had been killed or had been infected. 17 had been killed, according to the latest reporting. But, Paul, I said that thousands, tens of thousands have been infected, and probably thousands are already dead. And this morning, China locked down three cities. I mean, you don't quarantine three cities unless you have the mark of the beast.
Yeah, that seems to be their mark, obviously. And of course, the last time this happened, how many millions of people died in China?
Well, it wasn't really millions of people died. Last time it was an outbreak of a similar type disease. There were 8,000 people globally infected. It killed 800, which is a nasty ratio of, you know, if either 10 people in the hospital, one of them's going to die. And that is a nasty number. But when you look at China kept saying that, oh, it's just a small isolated outbreak. Eventually, they admitted to over to about two thirds of the outbreak, 5,327, and about half of the dead, 343.
From China, though, how real were those numbers?
No, eventually these are the real numbers. These are the real numbers. You know, and they eventually, you know, the World Health Organization got involved, and they had to, you know, they had to savage their economy a bit because they were hiding this to try to, you know, keep the economy going. You know, it's you know, there's nothing like going to a city as a tourist and seeing all the people there wearing masks and see quarantine signs at the airport with people in white, contagion suits.
Yeah,
that's really where we were a week and a half ago. And now we're starting to admit where we really are. Unfortunately, this thing has an incubation period of about 8 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. So the 1 to 2 week delay probably spread it around the world.
Go ahead.
There were five countries with cases, including the United States, Canada, Japan, Thailand. And this morning, there's probably 25 countries. So this is now a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think everyone, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands and, you know, not touch your face. And please don't pick your nose when you have the flu, right? Because that spreads very rapidly.
Right.
You now need to be washing all the time. Those little children you have, you need to be washing them all the time. Do not use the sanitizer all the time, because that just destroys all the bacteria killing capability of your body. But just good soap and water. You must be washing all the time, and that may help you or it may not.
Right.
One of the differences in the United States, you know, we actually address issues of challenge. You know, we don't try to throw it under the carpet. For China, this cost China about 1 to 2% of GDP in 2003. And to give you an example of that, Paul, their economy is 8.5 times larger today than it was in 2003. So tell me the globalists didn't win. China's economy grew just in 16 years, 8.5 times.
Well, let me hold you up on a couple of things. My conclusion has been the pandemic is here for quite some time. You can kind of see in the last week or so this whole thing blowing up like you're talking about. And for those who don't understand, a pandemic is a broad, across the globe, disease spread is what it is. And so now that's what we have right now. And welcome to our good friends, China. I want to go back to the World Trade Organization because Trump at Davos was absolutely hammering the World Trade Organization. And, of course, this victim status by a lot of these other countries, and, of course, always making appeals and taking the United States to court. Do you think Donald Trump's going to end that?
Well, I think that we pretty much already ended it. We said we won't go to court. You know, why would you go to court when you get nothing? When you file cases, you get the indubitable equivalent of nothing. And when they file cases, you know, they get quick justice.
Right.
I mean, you know, justice is about, you know, a blind justice holding a scale, and the scale, you know, has the opportunity to tilt each way according to the weight of the evidence.
Well, I was listening.
There is no blind,
right,
you know, justice, and the scale has got a big thumb on it.
I was listening to Donald Trump yesterday talk about that whole incident, all of that with the favored nation status and all this other good stuff. And he, you know, he said, why should we even be engaged in this? Because, you know, we get nothing. And so the best way to not engage in it is not engage in it with it. Why should we? And right. So, but the thing that people might not understand is we've been paying the freight for people like China, as you said. They filed something against us. We've paid up, and we've been giving them all the good stuff, basically, from this court process. And people haven't really been questioning it until Donald Trump comes along. Has there been anybody else who has questioned this from a political standpoint that's out there? Let's say like anybody on the Democratic side, Joe Biden, have they even thought about this stuff?
Well, no, Joe Biden is is a money vacuum that goes around and takes bows and goes to nice meetings. I mean, do you really think Clinton raised $2 billion for his global initiative because he was actually going to do anything positive for the world? 92% of all of the money in Bill Clinton's charity went to administrative and overhead. Now, you know, administrative overhead. I mean, what company could produce eight? You know, the federal government can't, you know, spend 92% on administrative and overhead. It's actually usually limited on programs to 12.5% administrative and overhead. A real business tries to get that number down to maybe 4% or 3%.
Right.
You know, because they have these things called competitors. You know, NGOs and non-government entities, organizations, you know, probably are in the 25 to 30%, because most of what they do is, you know, get politicians like Bill Clinton or Biden in a room and say, you give us money, we'll use that money on our program, but we'll also kick back that money in the form of political support. So there's nothing new about the game. It's just that Bill Clinton, in his infinite wisdom, you know, the wonder from Hope, Arkansas, as he's going out of office in 1999, cuts the deal of the century for Bill Clinton. You know, and all of these rules were in place. You know, people at the time said, this is nuts. You know, I what was his name that ran for office against Bush the first? Talked about that great sucking sound. You know, but it turned out to be not the great sucking sound from Mexico. It turned out to be the great sucking sound from China.
Right. What's it?
The deal that George Bush Sr. cut, Ross Perot,
right?
You know, was favorable to Mexico, but reasonable given that the country was close. And we pretty much had a hammer lock on him.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton took that deal with our neighbor, you know, our NAFTA neighbor, where we really do. They were at the time, they were importing more than they actually exported to us. You know, Bill Clinton took those rules and that structure and everything else and flipped it. So all of a sudden today, Mexico is exporting, you know, about 1.5 times as much to the United States as it imports, whereas...
Hang on, Chris. We got a break coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris Street some more NAFTA and other things. Ross Perot, maybe, but more with Chris Street. Stay with us. protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. With us right now is Chris Street, and Chris is talking about China and all the different things going on there. We've been talking about this flu epidemic or pandemic that has developed out of China, and now it's become a worldwide problem. And, of course, this is something that is incredibly dangerous for the world. And the number of people who might die from this latest outbreak is absolutely incredible. So, anyway, we're going to get back to Chris. And, Chris, we were talking about NAFTA and the things that were going on with NAFTA. What's up with that?
Well, I think, Paul, NAFTA was a good idea, you know, but like all good ideas, you have to have good administrators, right? Any business has a good administrator and a good, you know, customer relations deal and a good vendor structure, you know, will do just fine. But when you get somebody in your company that clearly is looking for what is good for me without the interests of the company, that person needs to be fired. You know, Bill Clinton got in his problems with Monica Lewinsky because she was an employee. She's sort of like the water boy on the field. She was no Marilyn Monroe player that came in the house. This was a, you know, very powerful executive, sort of doing the least powerful person in the office and thinking that he was entitled to do so. You know, and the impeachment of Bill Clinton, I mean, there was actually a real live crime. He had lied under oath. You know, isn't that part of his job to take an oath? He had lied under oath. There was no doubt that he had lied. In the current fairy tale that has turned into, you know, a monster, because a lot of fairy tales have monsters, right?
Right. Absolutely.
You have people all over who try the place. To do good, and they, you know, the troll under the bridge. I mean, Bill Clinton is literally the troll under the bridge. Bill and Hillary, you know, they have a relationship of convenience, and that convenience is what's in it for me. I mean, Hillary Clinton still is out there thinking that she is going to sweep in on her broom at the convention and sweep this thing back. She's going to have, you know, fulfill her destiny as the troll under the bridge taking over the bridge. She's not confused in any way, shape, or form. And now you're in a situation where literally China, just as we're speaking, locked down the country's holiday. They call it the Spring Festival, but actually it's the old Chinese New Year's. But, you know, China just canceled Christmas. What would happen in America if you canceled Christmas because of fears of a spreading contagion? Would the country take it seriously?
No. Why should they?
But that's what you're really dealing with. You're dealing with something that is so bizarro. You know, a set of people that are so bizarro and have actually been doing this for long enough where they believe if they just tell the lie over and over and over again, you know, it's P.T. Barnum. If you tell a lie enough, people start to believe it. They sit around and giggle and laugh and tell the lie and think you're stupid and you're going to believe it. And unfortunately for, you know, they just didn't get the memo. Donald Trump was the end of lying to America and thinking America would just put up with it. You know, all over the world, it is changing right now. And the people who actually, you know, government is supposed to be a government of the people, they're now actually asking the government to be of the people. That is just not acceptable to the globalists who've had their way for two decades.
Well, the wonderful thing about all this, of course, is we have Donald Trump, who's now running around trying to protect us from all these people and exposing all the lies and connecting the dots to the people that are even actually in, right now as we speak, starting to speak in the well of the Senate, trying to impeach him. It's an interesting juxtaposition where you have this impeachment process going on where there really is no case, and everybody's now starting to figure it out. I think yesterday was kind of an epic day where people realized this is just nothing more but rehashed lies, and it's going to be the same as we go through this whole process. I guess, Chris, if you take a look at the globalists and the initiative and all the things that are going on by the collection of California Democrats that are putting this whole, staging this whole thing, plus one New Yorker, which is Jerry Nadler. Where are the globalists going to be when Donald Trump prevails on the other side of the impeachment?
Well, they'll be around, Paul. These people aren't going to go away. You know, they'll just buy their time and come back. Yeah, but the issue for them is, as globalism dies, they are dying. You know, it's nice if you have money in the stock market, you're making a lot of profit, but the real game has been in the corporate world, the globalist corporate world, and all of a sudden, could you imagine if you had $2 trillion of investments in China? It doesn't make any economic sense, and you have these nasty things called accountants, you know, and these nasty rules. Eventually, big corporations, they're going to have to write off those investments. And you're going to see massive losses in the globalist, and the losses are going to be captured by people who build factories in the United States. I mean, this game is done. Fracking in 2008, you could drill down 1 mile with fracking and drill sideways a mile and an eighth. Right now, you can drill down 40 miles, or down 1 mile and sideways 40 miles. By 2023, you'll be able to drill down 1 mile and sideways 100 miles under the earth. So instead of tearing up everything and putting big derricks and moving from place to place to place, you pretty much build one well, and then you keep working off that well. That is a technological change that is going to have spectacular impacts to the United States. I know that subsidies have been wonderful for all the sustainability people, even though they get all their materials, you know, for solar cells from China out of uranium plants, that the uranium mines that are actually really, really dangerous. But, you know, we are going back to a world where America has cheap energy, where America is the world.
It seems like it. You know, this is the thing. You've been saying this now for years. And I can remember, gosh, back in 2011 and 12 on this show, that you were making these comments and you were talking about all the oil shale in California and all this and how oil drilling had started to produce more and more oil and fracking, of course. And everybody was saying, well, you're just crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. But guess what? The here and now is for New California, pretty obvious. But the other part of it is this realization of energy independence that you predicted would happen has happened. It's here. It's now for the United States.
Well, and Paul, I want to apologize. Can I apologize? Can I apologize on the air?
You understated
the revolution. I thought the revolution would take about 10 years. The revolution has taken 5 years.
Yeah.
And more importantly, for it, you remember that New California represents essentially a big slug of the people who were cheated by the globalists, right?
Yeah.
When you drive the 99 freeway, there used to be a factory every 4 miles, a big factory, where people have paid $26 to $30 an hour and could get overtime. You know that time and a half stuff and double time? They were getting they're working 40 hours, you know, in today, equivalent today's high 20s, low 30s. But they were getting overtime, which was the equivalent to about 45, and double time, which is equivalent to about $60 an hour, because it's always better to put somebody really experienced, you know, when you have an extra order on than hiring somebody just off the street. So if you had any kind of hand skills, you had any kind of creative, productive skills, you worked a great job, you had a nice house, your kids went to excellent schools, and you were making progress. That was swept away, and you can see these people who moved from, you know, making the equivalent today of around $70,000 a year, maybe with a, you know, the spouse making together equivalent about $120,000 a year, to making about $50,000 a year. You know, one's a barista and one's got, you know, some job in the service industry, but you essentially took away 60% of their income. All of that is coming back. And in New California, we praise that. You know, the people who are mad about this are the globalists that would really like you to be an Uber driver or a barista or you know, a child sitter, because they want cheap labor. They talk about human rights, and their idea of human rights is you're a slave.
Yes. That's exactly
they have
right.
The human right. You know, remember the Democrat Party, you know, is Bull Connor, right? Remember Bull Connor? Sick the dogs on the black people marching with Martin Luther
yep.
King.
Yep.
He'd be a Democrat.
Yeah.
He'd be a Democrat. You know, these people, they change their story, but they absolutely are the haters. They want cheap you and rich them. They see the world as a I win, you lose. If you win, I have to lose. That's not New California. We believe that when people win, everybody wins. If you get rich in New California, it's because you hired people and they, you know, had great lives and they really produced for you. In globalism, none of that exists.
Well, you know, the thing with I want to perseverate for a moment on the Democratic Party. And because they certainly love to flip the script, and we're seeing the script being flipped right before our very eyes to this originalist notion of constitutionalism that they're bringing to the fore, you know. But they are protecting and they're defending the Constitution. The massive hypocrisy going on. The only case that they have really that makes any kind of sense at all is that they're protecting the Constitution case, but that's their case because they never protect the Constitution. In fact, as they're protecting the Constitution, they're trying to destroy the institutions that have been created by the Constitution and their very nature by how they're behaving today. Clearly, that you have an out of control House of Representatives. And of course, the founding fathers wanted it this way to be able to. If you did have a House of Representatives, which represented all the impulses of the people, that would basically challenge as a dictatorship within the House of Representatives, challenge the Senate. We couldn't have asked for a better poster child example of that than what we're seeing right now to the Democrats. Which basically what they're trying to do is destroy our Republican form of government right before our very eyes. And I tell people, you know, all the things that the founding fathers put together about a bicameral legislature and so on have been absolutely proven to be great in that the Senate is acting as sort of a buffer, a stopgap, if you will, because they've taken on this whole notion of impeachment a lot differently because this is where the trial takes place. And they want them to pervert the trial system that's in the Senate. And the Senate has been refusing to this to a point, obviously, to defend against the overreaches of the House of Representatives right before our very eyes. But the hypocrisy that's being displayed here can't go without notice. It's the Democrats that seem to be the evildoers of the Constitution, yet you can see them clearly trying to cloak themselves around the flag of the Constitution. They did the same thing with slavery. They did the same thing with the Civil Rights Movement. It's just a continuum of many of the evils of the Democratic Party that we're seeing in 2020, as we saw in 1861 when the Civil War started. And, of course, before that was slavery, Jim Crow, and so on. I guess the point is, will the Democratic Party ever implode? Is there potential for them doing that right now?
Well, Paul, I don't think the word implode is what's going to happen. I think what's already happened is the Democrat Party has already splintered. It's not the Republicans that have no, you know, philosophy of business and government. It is the Democrats. The Democrats are having a split. The socialist Marxist elements are coming back and coming back strong. They always do. You know, the idea that I want what you have. There's nothing new about that. That's pretty much, you know, wealth transfer has never been about wealth transfer from the rich. It has been wealth transfer from the middle class. I mean, the rich, there are rich people. But the bulk of people are in the middle class. It is much easier to steal from the middle class than it is for the rich. You know, the rich have resources and blah, blah, blah. You got to take it from the middle. And the Democrats, they need to, the Democrats, socialists, the Bolsheviks of old days are back. And you need to destroy history because history has a bad way of reminding you that the middle class does better under capitalism and conservative government than it does under the Marxist Venezuela experience. So you need to deny history. And that's what's really going on. I see this, you know, I lecture at Caltech, at the UCs, other private schools, USC. You know, I see this all the time. It is a small cadre that demands the elimination of history, you know, because it's sexist, because it's not the bottom line of what history is they want to deny is the fact that the middle class wins when they have democracy, the middle class wins when there's capitalism, and the middle class, you know, gets the bulk of the money under that type of system. Under the system the Democrats want, your betters win. And the middle class somehow is supposed to hate each other enough to vote against its own interest. It's a very interesting philosophy.
Well, you know, the and again, I think what you hit upon, especially when you talk about historical revisionism and all the other things, is that this is exactly the point. Is usually is a small cadre of people who are engaged in this whole process of revisionism. And boy, do they like to revise things quickly. I know that we've been monitoring some of the stories that have been coming out from, you know, past, I guess you would say, dalliances of the Democratic Party, and they seem to want
dalliances. I haven't heard that word in a while.
That's a big word. Anyway,
you could have used another word, but you can't use it on the air.
I know. Anyway, they really do have quite a system of historical revisionism. A lot of people don't understand this, but we see it in the form of like trolls and things like that. That's one of the easiest ways to look at it. But they actually do have a very big system. It's a pretty good network of historical revisionism that's been going on for some time. The New California State Movement has recognized this and seen this for many, 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 many times. And that this whole process of, you know, them, I guess you would say, them changing the historical record used to take maybe 5 or 6 years over time. Now they're just doing it. It seems to be on a daily basis. Their army of trolls, the network that they've got going on out there to make these provisions or these changes in history are just, it's phenomenal. We see it now in lightning speed because of the internet. But, you know, that's why I say people, when they find something that's historically relevant, print it off. You know, keep a record of it. We saw this with the first Californio Declaration of Independence of 1836. We couldn't find any copies of it. We heard that it existed, and then we finally, after about a month of researching, we found it on the internet from a link to a link to a link to a link, one of those kind of things. And now it's actually all over the place, thanks to New California, which really, I think, really does set a historical precedence that people can see, you know, that history has been modified. Because when I talk about these things in all of our town halls, people had no idea. You know, they didn't know about the Big Red Star. They didn't know about the 1836 connection to Texas, 1836. Hello.
Right.
Texas declared independence in March of 1836 from Mexico, and Californios declared independence in 1836 in November from Mexico. They just never saw this whole thing. So, anyway, I think it's interesting to see this revolution that's now going at lightning speed. But people need to pay attention about this small cadre of folks that control so much in terms of the historical record.
Well, Paul, and that brings us right back to the Californios and the New California movement, which I have said is all about the coming bankruptcy, economic collapse of California. Now, I did say, and I started this a year ago, October. I said, you are now on a glide path that California can escape its eventual bankruptcy. It'll take a while because the simple fact that you have this guy, this new sheriff in town called Donald Trump, who's made America's economy obviously great again, and that would delay the inevitable. But we are on the glide path for that kind of change. I said it would be led by the implosion of China, which, I mean, when you quarantine cities, sounds to me like the game is over. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think
so. We are now in a situation where all of that small slice, you know, of elitists along the coast of California, I think 13 counties in the coast, their dog don't hunt no more. You know, ask them to get on a plane and go to a Chinese city. You know, they're not going to do it. They're not stupid. They want you to do it. They want, you know, they want open borders. Imagine open borders with coronavirus on the way in. I think it's, you know, imagine a Democrat trying to tell an average family that you really have no rights to stop, you know, these people coming here because they're afraid of getting coronavirus in China, so they must get on a plane, fly to America right now, and protect themselves and be safe. Oh, but they might be bringing a zoonotic. Zoonotic is the type of widely proliferated contagion
that is associated with coronavirus. There's nothing new under God's sun. And these things have been around for a long time. And the number one issue to preventing is stopping the spread of it. You know, what human right do you have if somebody can fly in or walk across the border with coronavirus?
Right. Absolutely none. These viral diseases, all these diseases, and of course we've been subjected to this, and this is what Trump has been telling people at the border, that we just cannot have this open border that we've got going on because primarily the diseases. I mean, that's another function. But, you know, the disease, once diseases start to flow across one border to another nation and start to infect the other nation, it becomes a disaster, which is exactly what we're seeing right now, a complete disaster happening.
Right. And that's okay, Paul, because we're on the way. New California is a reality. If you're a listener out there and you haven't got involved in this, you're missing the greatest party in the history of the country. The biggest country is going to be the biggest state in the United States. It really is, does think it's a country. The biggest state in the United States is going to carve off those globalist knuckleheads and send them on their happy way in their socialist paradise. And they're going to create a new California with the kind of economic boom California saw in the past. So if you like to be a player in the winning game, you need to join the team that's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, we've got our convention coming up on the 28th and 29th in February, which is the 6th Constitutional Convention. It's going to be kind of a very interesting convention, to be sure. So I guess the message to everybody right now is soap and water.
Soap and water. I'd be using that soap and water. It's good for you, Paul. You know, I understand sanitizer. You might use some of that too, but don't use it all the time, because the good news is sanitizer, you know, cleans your skin. The bad news is it cleans your skin of all the stuff that protects you.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, if you do it over and over and over again, you know, all you're doing is making yourself more available as a host for a disease.
Yeah, you're cleaning up, you're prepping the host. You're prepping the microbes for a good infiltration is what you're doing, or infection. Anyway, so Chris, tell us how we can get a hold of you, because we're running out of time now.
I'm on the Epoch Times every day, every other day. Wonderful to talk to you, Paul. It's great to be part of the movement. If you're out there, folks, get on board. This is going to be the greatest, you know, fun ride you've ever had.
Awesome. Chris Street, thank you very much. And don't stay away for so long. People will clamor for you and your predictions off that crystal ball.
I'm rubbing it, Paul.
All right, bud. Okay, Chris Street joining us here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com, a21r.com. And, of course, also newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, State of the Future. We're getting our new website up and running, and a lot of changes coming to that. And bear with us. We've got some tests and other things to go through, but it'll be up and running. It's actually up and running now, and I'm not going to tell you how to get there yet. We'll be doing that in the days ahead. So anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And email me, paul@a21r.com, paul@a21r.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me and all the different things that are happening out here in the land of New California. Yeah, we talk a lot about it here on the radio show, but we also do a lot of town halls and traveling. And so visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com, and get up on the latest events and news and everything else that are coming out of New California, and tons and tons and tons of more news next week about New California and, of course, the convention coming up. So anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.